to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio. And after some minor technical difficulties, we are live on the air with the Battleground Post Show here on Rant EM Radio. Double A being joined by Surfer.
Hey.
And the impact play of Mr. Phil Ray. And my goodness, folks.
Somebody's missing. He's that heartbroken.
I sent Tony a text message 30 seconds after the nonsense that occurred in the main event. And he called me instantaneously. And we continued to have like a 15-minute conversation.
Yeah, because the pay-per-view ended early.
Right.
Yeah, no, that was the best 15 minutes commercials I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, so Tony C will not be calling in.
He's going into a state of abeyance.
That was worth the $9.99 for the month, okay? 15 minutes of pure commercials. Good job.
Well, here we go. What can I say, folks? These things happen. They're not all winners. Most of the pay-per-views this year have been decent. You know? Hey.
I liked this pay-per-view.
Huh?
I liked it.
Here's the thing. And welcome, by the way, if you're listening to us here live on Rant EM Radio. Good turnout. Chat room's been active all night. Thank you.
Chat room is a buzz, man. You guys rock tonight.
Yeah, the chat room's been active all night tonight. Thank you for being a part of the chat. And more reason for you to be a part of the chat room during any broadcast this network has. Because I tell you, you can see sometimes some of the most entertaining things in the chat room. But I guess let's just get right to it, shall we? Yeah. Well, you know, if we want to get technical, the main event is still going on. So,
no, it's
you
a,
know,
it's
a, it could we could have a winner while we're on the air here.
No, there's a winner. When something like that happens, it's automatic.
No, nobody won tonight, Surfer. Nope, nobody won tonight.
For once, can you put logic on the shelf?
Well, yeah. Well, they could have gave us another 5 minutes or something.
Oh, let's okay. So basically, Brock Lesnar was suplexing the hell out of Seth Rollins, and when he hit the F5, he went for the 1-2-3 and 1-2 gong. The Undertaker came out, basically attacked Brock Lesnar. Left them in a state of disheveledness. And first of all, Taker looking good. Taker looking like the Undertaker of WrestleMania 20. Can't take that away from him.
No.
But let's go back to what happened here. So Undertaker attacked Brock Lesnar. Pay-per-view ended at 10:45. There is no winner in the match because the match basically never ended. The referee never called for the bell. We don't know what the hell happened to the referee, by the way. Or Seth Rollins. You know, because they kind of just disappeared. You know, it's kind of like one of those deals. And, yeah. What do you think, Phil?
I want somebody to defend this.
Well,
with logic. I'm sorry. Not with logic. I want somebody to defend this to me in terms of a writer. You know, like, first of all, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Eight. Guy lost the streak. Right. Not last year, not last Battleground, not even last SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Two WrestleManias ago.
Right.
There is absolutely no logic in this return. None. There was no title at the... Brock beat him clean. Beat him what?
I give you a stretch logic, okay?
Come on, man.
No, I'm not justifying. I'm going to give you stretch logic, okay? All right, so Undertaker loses, goes to the hospital, takes him a year to recover. Comes back. He can't take on the Undertaker. I mean, he can't take on Brock Lesnar because Brock Lesnar's in the championship. And then somebody else is digging at him. So then the Undertaker can only show up two times a year. So now he's making his return. Because Kane's leg is broke, too. You got to get him back for that. And you want to get at somebody at the most opportune time, which is screw him for the championship.
I'm sorry.
I didn't say
it. I see.
It was good logic. I just said it was stretch logic.
Dude, you're stretching that.
You drove around the block, but you figured out a way to go take the long way.
Like, you can't. I'm sorry, man. It's bad enough that it happened now. Because now you're going to have, what, Brock and Taker at SummerSlam?
Well, let's do this. Let's first of all, I guess we need to report this.
This is a breaking news alert.
We're now getting a tweet from a very credible source that says that both Mike Chioda and Seth Rollins have been reported missing. And, no. Okay, anyways, that is a tweet that's actually circulating the internet right now. But anyways, you know what? There's a lot of questions that we need to ask as wrestling fans.
Yeah, and I just got a tweet. Now you got me saying tweet. I got a text from Lee. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Taker has his way. You know, he's 106 years old. Like Brock Lesnar manhandled him in that match. Yeah, and all of a sudden, he has a spray-on tan, grows his hair back, and loses 10 pounds, puts on extra mascara, and it's okay?
Well, Seth Rollins softened him up with all those suplexes, so...
And that's another thing. This has to be the absolute worst title reign in WWE history. This guy is a phenomenal talent, meaning Seth Rollins. This guy is awesome. He plays a decent heel. The whole authority thing I was feeling for a little while, but he's beat nobody clean. Half of his matches are all shenanigans, and it's nonsense. Whoever wrote this is probably writing shitty sitcoms for NBC or the USA Network. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Here's the deal. I want to ask this question. Forget about everything else. Is The Undertaker a face or a heel? Because here's the deal. Despite his actions, Brock Lesnar was a face during this whole time. And Jim Ross went as far as says that he's the top babyface in the WWE right now. But that's his opinion. But Brock was a face right now. He wasn't a tweener. He was a face. Brock was fighting evil in Seth Rollins. So here's The Undertaker coming to take out what? Because Brock isn't evil. Brock is just a beast who wants what he wants and does what he has to do to get it. He was wronged at WrestleMania by Seth Rollins. And he wanted justice. He wanted payback. So now The Undertaker is looking for retribution for what happened at WrestleMania 30 18 months ago, as Phil said. So does that make The Undertaker a heel because he attacked a face? Gotta ask that question.
Here's a direct question from Tony C.
Yes.
And by the way, for those asking in the chat room, no, he did not throw his PlayStation out the window.
No.
At the shenanigans. But again,
he's still got to play that Batman game.
Justify that. I need somebody, we need somebody to justify this.
Well, with that, we're going to say 954-889-7268, AA The Rant, all one word on Skype, if you want to justify it. Now, what we can do as a community is go and see what the other people are talking about. Because, I got to tell you, the reactions are mixed. They're mixed.
Yeah, because listen, a lot of people love the Undertaker. Marks. Exactly. I get it. I like the guy. I had zero problems with him up until about 5 years ago. You know, at this point in the game, it's like beating a dead horse. You're not that good in the ring anymore. You have whatever. You have your spots. You're fine, and he's definitely earned his spot in this industry. He has. Mm-hmm. He's done everything. He stuck by them when they were down, and through his own path right now. But he's also 50 years old, can barely move, and he's injecting himself in stuff that makes no sense. Even if he's working for the authority, let's go with your theory, Double A. Let's say he's the heel, okay? Now what? It's Undertaker, Kane, and Seth Rollins?
Yeah.
This is your authority?
Yeah.
This is not the corporate ministry, 2015. You know, this is nonsense. I don't know. Listen, guys, if I'm wrong, call in. Please.
Yeah, please call in.
I want someone to justify this.
I think people are scared because they're worried that you may rape them on the air.
No, I'm just giving my opinion, and I'm also advocating for Tony C, who refuses to call in. That was a direct quote from him. He literally called my cell phone. I wasn't expecting a phone call. Sent him a text.
Don't be emotional like that. You're supposed to be professional. You know, bury your feelings and do your job.
And Tony C also asked me if Taker beats Brock at SummerSlam, does he get the streak back? Does it magically appear back?
No, it doesn't. It's done. It's done and over with. The thing is, I don't know. I really don't know because, you know what, the rest of the pay-per-view kind of just, you know, a lot of the matches were just kind of, they were okay.
Yeah.
They were okay. They were not bad. Just it was status quo. You know, and nothing over. I think that's the reason why the rest of the pay per view was kind of vanilla. Had to have been, because you know, even Owens and Cena was okay. Certainly not their best outing.
I would have had him come out and kill the New Day.
Hey,
you know, and then show Brock that he's there.
The Divas, I thought, tried their best. But I honestly, you know, here's my problem with the Divas match now. Not to go off on a tangent, but here's the problem with the Divas match. You put fresh faces, fresh meat, so to speak, on a live pay-per-view for the first time. Can't do that. What happens? You're going to choke. You got to let them wet their feet on Raw first. And they didn't do that. And you could say, hey, they wrestle live on NXT during those NXT specials. Like, it's different. It's different.
Yes and no.
Yes and no, but it's different. You know,
it's
still their territory, their quote-unquote territory.
Right, and then you have a three-hour show. Your flagship show is 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
Your flagship show is 3 hours, and you have under 10 segments, mm-hmm. including 20-minute promos, nonsense, and commercials. So how much of an opportunity are they going to get? Unless Stephanie DeJackson brings them out like she did last week and all that. And I can, and you know me, I hate women's wrestling, mm-hmm. but I actually enjoyed the match.
I thought it wasn't bad. The problem is that I thought, you know, considering the qualifications of the Divas, of you know, what they're able to do, I thought, you know, you know, it showed, the inexperience showed tonight. And it's not that I'm putting them down. It just, it showed a little bit tonight. And I thought that maybe putting them on pay-per-view, at least just right out the gate, maybe was not the smartest thing to do. But, hey, somebody tried to call 510, whoever it was, try calling back in. You hung up too soon. I don't know. Let me go to Twitter here. Well, listen, Adam O'Brien, for the typical simplicity of it, I nominate Battleground for the pay-per-view of the year so far.
For simplicity?
That's what this tweet says.
I can't see anybody justifying that. I'm baffled.
Let's see.
I can't. I'm sorry. I mean, unless, you know.
Do you believe this? The Lord is back.
Yeah, they're going to Mark Alpha take him. My sister's probably doing cartwheels in her apartment right now.
She
loves the guy.
Danny Scott on Twitter. If you want, you can tweet some of these people. It's DAJOSC11 on Twitter. I don't think I've ever been this mad about missing a Raw in my life. Tomorrow's show is going to be amazing, and I can't watch. Hashtag WWE Battleground.
That's another thing. At least Brock shows up 3 or 4 times a year. This Jamook comes once a year. So what? He's actually gonna wrestle more than once this year?
I think so.
You better hope so. Because now the person who wrote this in is screwed. The person who, or the people, I should say, the person or persons who wrote this really need to now write him in and justify it. And they can't.
King Scotty Villa at Scotty Villa.
That's a nice. I like that. Yeah. I like that handle.
I'm legit so happy with hashtag WWE Battleground. Don't spoil it for yourself and allow them to tell stories, and it's a lot of fun. Great job at WWE.
Tell stories? Oof. That poor kid.
Yeah.
Again, listen, if I'm wrong or you think I'm wrong, please call in, tweet me, text me, go on the group page.
This is from...
Seriously, because I, again...
Yeah, this is from Essa Rashad 94. Since the period, I didn't watch an amazing show like today's show. It was so interesting. Hashtag WWE Battleground.
The rest of the card was decent.
Yeah.
Predictable, but decent. You know? I think I was wrong. I knew that Rollins was going to retain, but the only thing I got wrong besides Taker coming back was what's his nuts winning? Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
So that was all. Everything else I got right. So.
Here's the first negative tweet that I've been able to find. This is at @FozBlue. WWE yet again ruined a pay-per-view event. Thank you.
Sir, let me ask you something, man. And you've been watching wrestling a little bit longer than I have.
Mm-hmm. 60 years.
Yeah, 60 years. But honestly, can you tell me anything positive that's going to come out of that?
Not offhand, no. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Oh, jeez. What a way to bail.
Okay. Because I feel like I was tight, and as soon as it happened, I texted Tony. I said, "Damn it!" I wrote, "Damn it," because I told, like I said, like when we did the pre-show, I said I didn't read anything until this morning, and me and the little guy were talking back and forth, you know. And he said to me, "He goes, why would that happen?" I said, "I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. It's far fetched." I said to him, "Stupid me," said, "told him it was far fetched." It is what it is. But you have to understand, too, it's like, you know, I can't see them having him in there for the long haul. Unless he's going to wrap it up, like, after the summer. Because what are you validating for Mania? What are you validating for Royal Rumble? You can't bring the streak back. He definitely can't go for a title run, unless he could. I don't know, but... I don't see it.
The majority of the things seem to be positive. But I guess us grizzled veterans don't tend to think that this is the smart thing to do. But okay, Phil, let's play a little devil's advocate, or however you want to
absolutely
call it. Brock wins. Okay? Brock wins. Tomorrow night on Raw, comes out, Heyman cuts a promo saying, let's make it even more interesting and save it as the final promo of the night. Brock and Paul come out, they cut this, Paul cuts this amazing promo on how Brock is going to be, this time around he's going to be the WWE champion for the longer than the first time, and blah, 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 blah. During the promo, The Undertaker comes out and does what he did tonight, does it during that final promo on Raw. Better booking, same booking, or still unnecessary?
Slightly better booking, unnecessary.
So you still think it's unnecessary, though?
Because there's no validity. You waited almost 2 years? 18
Why not,
months?
Though? Why not?
See, that's the thing.
That's where I'm gonna
but
play the opposite end here. Why not? Why not just say, what the hell?
Why didn't he come back when he beat Cena? That would have been more believable.
I guess they had to do what they can considering his actual health.
Boss, he manhandled everybody he's faced so far.
I know that, but I'm talking about Undertaker now.
Right,
his actual health.
But they bring Taker back and he all of a sudden manhandles Brock Lesnar?
Well.
When guy's half his age?
Cut him off guard.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, for story purposes, okay, I'll throw you that bone. That's fine. It throws him off a little bit, but there's no validity to it anymore. Like, there's nothing there. Like, there's no substance. If this was 1999, I'd be excited.
Yeah.
With the cloak and the coffins and shit, Paul Bearer would still be around. God rest his soul. I'm sorry, dude. He looks old. He wrestles old. And my sister's going to give me crazy heat for this one when she hears this, but, but still, I don't care. I don't see the logic in it. I don't. Especially from a guy who wrestles less than every other part-timer that comes in. They better, those writers better fucking go into overtime now.
I guess we'll find out what's going to happen tomorrow night on Raw from, I believe, Kansas City. It's going to be interesting. I really don't know. I'm not speechless too often, and it's not that I'm speechless. I'm kind of
dumbfounded.
Maybe not even that. I'm kind of like stumped. I'm like, they ask me a question I don't have an answer for.
I hate not having the answer for something.
It
bothers me.
It bothers me too. And it could be a stupid question at that. Like, I don't know. What do you feel like? Steak or chicken? God, I don't know.
On an off day, this happens all the time. It happened to me on Friday. Yeah. What do you want to eat for breakfast? At the diner? I don't know. You have a menu full of shit there. What do you want to eat? I don't know. Do you want breakfast? Do you want lunch? It's 11 o'clock.
I can't tell you how many
times. Swing both ways.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in the car driving around hours. Where do you want to go eat? I don't know. And by then, I've driven 50 miles, and I don't even know where the hell we're going to... I end up in Denny's.
Right. So there's the... which is where I'll probably wind up Friday. Choppy, if you're listening, shout me out. We found one in Jersey. But anyway, that's the writers now.
Yeah.
They're all sitting around. He probably put a phone call into the boss and said, listen, I'm ready to come back. I feel good. I have a little bit of energy. They showed pictures of him recently, right? Didn't you guys mention on the rant last week? There were pictures of him working out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's fine. But where is the logic? Please, I need somebody to justify this for me. Set my mind at ease.
Well, okay, so I'm going to give you some logic in the WWE aspect. that WWE, that the, okay, they, the two names that came out, and you guys mentioned it during the pre-show, were Undertaker and Sting. Okay. Because, and they say Sting will be at SummerSlam just in a non-wrestling role. That he's like, they've confirmed him for SummerSlam. And it's because they want to up or maintain the network subscription numbers, which I believe they're going to announce some numbers this week. I believe they're supposed to announce numbers this week. At least
it's
that's
free,
what I
mean. It's free every other month.
Yeah, well, no, now they've got the free, you know, if you're a first-time subscriber, you know, it's free for the first month. They've got that. I don't understand why they just didn't implement that from the get-go, instead of giving it free every month and then this, whatever. And then when my network subscription actually expired, because it expired for whatever reason, I was on auto renew. It expired and I got a free month out of it, which is fine. I don't, you know, fine by me. But yeah, it now they've got the free month if you're a first time subscriber and all this stuff. And that's the only logic I can give you, Phil, is that they want to maintain the network subscriptions going into SummerSlam, which, behind WrestleMania, is their second biggest show of the year.
See, I find myself every couple of months justifying why I even have the network to some people. Mm-hmm. And I have a whole different bag about it because I do this, I, you know, I'm part of the network, I have an 8-year-old, I still like to watch the current stuff.
Right.
And there's so many reasons why, and the old stuff, even though they edited a lot of it, I still like the old stuff that I can just, it's accessible to me.
Right.
Even for show material. So I find myself doing that more to the IWC and to other hosts from other shows, like every other month or every couple of weeks, because that's what the conversations come down to. And people say to me, like, even casual fans, like, you know, it's not like a thing when we were younger, like, you still watch wrestling? Like, when you were in your 20s and you haven't seen friends from high school and junior high school, hey, you still watch that wrestling stuff? And you're like, yeah. Now it's like, you watch that garbage? It's crap. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they don't get it like we get it. And I...
Of course not.
Right. And I can't really justify that to them because they're... But the internet wrestling community, which we're all part of, is recycled and thrown in your face just to have something to mark out to.
Exactly.
And that's what you're going to get on Twitter. That's what you're going to get on Facebook. That's what you're going to get on The Rant and Shining Wizards Network. We'll get all these other guys. That's what we're going to get. We're going to get that. Oh, I'm so happy to see Taker. Why, though? Tell me why. Is it because he's in the ring again? Is it because you want to see him wrestle? You like the mascara? What do you like about this? Tell me. Tell The Rant. Tell us. Tell it Phil gives Reyes, them, tell all
it gives them, because those marks are the same marks that still clamor for the Attitude Era, and it's the last vestige that they have of the Attitude Era that's still around. I mean, okay, yeah, you got Triple H, but let's be honest, Triple H's wrestling career is over for the most part.
And that's by choice.
And that's by choice.
Because you could still go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Undertaker's never really had a final... you know, final chapter, so to speak. And is his final chapter being written now? It's possible. It's very possible. You know what, Phil? I'd love to come on here and tell you that, you know what, maybe this is his last run. And this is what they're doing. Maybe this is his last run. And well, that's it.
Well, let me throw this at you. We, after he beat the streak, we were all... in shock. Mm-hmm. And that was in utter disbelief.
Because we said it was the wrong thing to do.
Exactly. So now, how do you justify losing the streak and then waiting 2 years, almost 2 years, to interject yourself in something that's not really your speed? Like, you're not that guy. Undertaker was never that guy. Undertaker always was written in to interject himself in, like, a major, major spot, not in a middle-of-the-year pay-per-view.
Well, here's where I'm going to give you another example of that. and it's not a great example. Sting. Sting, when the NWO started, came in, then he cut a promo. I consider myself a free agent. And then, like, 3 weeks later, he came out with the black and white. And then he cut his final promo that he ever cut for however long it was, 16 months, 17 months, that he didn't talk. And Sting was around just about every single week, beating the hell out of the NWO. And then one day he just said, he just went up to JJ, and JJ asked him, "Sting, what is it that you want? Tell me, what is it that you want?" And he just took a baseball bat and he pointed to a fan in the audience that was holding up a Hogan sign. And that's what started it. That's what started that. Why didn't he ask for Hogan earlier? I don't know. Maybe because they wanted to build this character. Is this similar? No, because The Undertaker came back in April to wrestle Bray Wyatt, and, you know, in a match that was okay, but it was less than memorable of the previous 21 matches he had at WrestleMania.
Well, if he didn't fight Bray Wyatt, he could have came and got his revenge on
you could say that too. There was nothing in the book that said that Undertaker had to wrestle at WrestleMania.
Except for he was his man who was being challenged.
Well, Bray could have challenged him at any time.
Yeah, but everybody wants to beat the man at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It didn't matter at that point.
Yeah, I know. I mean, once the streak was over.
That's it.
Right. So there's nothing. There was nothing. Listen,
sorry, you know what that Bray Wyatt match served as? So you didn't have your last image of The Undertaker looking weak and pathetic.
But that's the thing. Okay, fine. If we're going to go with that, but then we don't need to have him at WrestleMania. If he didn't show up at WrestleMania and then he showed up today, we'd be talking and be an entirely different conversation.
You brought up the whole Sting thing with WCW.
Yeah.
You want to know the difference between that...
And like I said, it was a bad example.
No, it's not a bad example. But you want to know the huge difference between that and what happened tonight?
What?
Was that was more compelling to watch week in and week out.
Of course it was, because it was part of an ongoing storyline.
Exactly. And no matter how big... Listen, you know me. NWO was great for the first 6 months.
Right.
Then he shit the bed. And I'm a Sting guy. I've been a Sting guy for a minute. And you guys know I didn't want to see Sting here either. I did not. Right. And I drank the Kool-Aid a little bit towards the end. I jumped on... Mega Powell was in my face all day about it. He's like, "Oh, you mean to tell me you're a Sting guy? You don't want to see him at Mania?" No, I didn't want to see him at Mania. I thought it was the bad move. But, again, that was just me. Guys past their prime. It's the same thing with pro sports. When your heroes are at a point where they cannot perform at their max capacity, why? I mean, I don't know. Like Matt mentioned in the chat room, you want to maybe take a once closure.
Right.
Listen,
that makes sense. That makes sense to
me. That's fine. That makes sense. But write it in, man. Make it compelling. Tell me a story. You're not telling me a story 18 months after he loses a winning streak.
But that's the thing. I think what throws you off is the Bray Wyatt thing, because if we didn't hear from Undertaker since then, like I said, entirely different thing.
You know, I think this is WWE at this point. They haven't had to really write a story involving the Undertaker now for what, the last
doesn't
5 years.
Doesn't matter.
Show up, somebody
doesn't
wants to
matter
beat him.
Because I'm almost positive. I would bet money on it. You know, of course I am not in the know. But I would bet that anything involving The Undertaker comes up on a regular basis.
Yeah, but and he probably, like I said, he probably writes his own ticket. And there are probably maybe three guys in this industry that can do that.
Mm-hmm. I truly think that this is probably the final chapter. This is not the right way to go about it.
And if it ends in Texas... I'll be happy because I'll be there, and that'd be cool to see.
It's going
to
end in Texas.
And you know what? And I'm going to play devil's advocate, because I've been speaking for myself and Tony, because he's tight about this. But I'll say this:
He's sobbing over a bowl of sherbet.
Pretty much. If I'll say that this can be justified if they keep him on television long enough to where it's going to tell me a story for next spring. Don't come out and fight in SummerSlam and then leave again for 6 more months and come back and go, okay, I'm ready to fight again. So, it's not consistent enough. And tonight was just an example of just bad booking, and you're throwing your old guy a bone. It's like that player manager in baseball, you know, like the guy who's like, you know, in his twilight, and he's not only is he playing, but he's coaching at the same time. But that happened in the 70s and 80s a lot.
Yeah.
I know Pete Rose did it, Joe Torre did it, a lot of guys did it. But like, you know, the guy's not going to win MVPs. You know, he's not going to hit like he used to. Maybe he'll interject himself in a pinch hit, you know, like a pinch hit situation, that kind of thing. Or that old quarterback that comes in, the rah-rah guy, you know, he's the hype man, you know. But like, it's when you see these guys in that capacity, it's not entertaining anymore. It's depressing. He looks like an old man. He moves like an old man.
For the last 10 years.
Pastor Sadell, what do you think?
Once we got past the nostalgia of it all, the older people were going, hey, wait a minute. This isn't going in right. And I think the part that bothered me personally the most is there was no finish. They could have easily had Seth slide into the ring afterwards.
I think,
yeah. What was so hard about that?
That's another thing too, that the pay per view abruptly ended.
Yeah, it's rubbing. And the refs, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they're missing.
They wanted the Undertaker to be the ending.
So, Pastor, I'm assuming you were there, right?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the crowd went bananas, though.
There was nostalgia, though, and that was the maybe the first 5 minutes. I did too. Afterwards, I was like, okay, what are we doing here? We're going to let this end like this? And the crowd, hysterical. I give them that. And the bomb, of course, would have done it just off of nostalgia purposes alone.
Right.
It was that bottom section that was going crazy.
Right.
Tony's, and I guess the way they have it set up, the mics are more down there than they are up top.
Yeah.
We were booing.
Right.
Like the announcers didn't even say anything for the last.
No, they said that. Michael Cole said, "This is bone chilling," and that was the last thing he said. Tony C, how many box of tissues did you go through so far?
My journalistic integrity was brought into question, and I had to call and defend my honor here. I'm not sobbing nor crying.
Man up, dude.
You're upset.
You know what, Surfer? You can go just have a seat for a second. Allow me to. Phil did a great job of advocating my points.
Allow you to rage out. Go ahead.
I'm not going to rage out. But at the same time, like Phil said, we're in the corner with our backs facing it, okay? Please tell me what good can come out of Undertaker besides him going to the hospital again and going away. Of this angle at SummerSlam. Please tell me. Because if he beats Brock, okay, you don't get your streak back, so. Eh.
Yeah, but he's not going to the hospital this time. He's getting his revenge.
And it don't matter. That's the whole point, sir.
Are they selling? SummerSlam is sold out, right?
It's sold out already.
So
the only thing that this would do for WWE is sell network subscriptions. That's it.
That's it.
But the Undertaker don't move the needle like that. Not at 50 plus.
Pastor, I trust your judgment, man. Honestly, tell me what you were feeling right as it happened. Your guts, and you're walking out of the building.
I'm hurt. Because I'm an Undertaker fan. I think we should let it go. We really should let it go before break. So by him showing up, the pop got me. And then shortly thereafter, they didn't even take walking out the door. Shortly thereafter, I'm going, why in the world would you do that? Because it was just me and my son and my wife. My daughter didn't go. My wife and pastor. And I didn't say nothing all the way home. I didn't say a word.
You were stud.
So he suplexed Cena 16 times. Rollins 13 times.
13, well, that's
why.
Undertaker's
supernatural, so how many times is it going to take him to suplex him?
Well, no, they did 13 for a reason.
No, yep. No. Yep, but I'm just saying. So you suplex Taker five times and then lose? Come on, Double A, he got a 3-year deal. Come on, man. Come on now.
What did he sign up for in his contract? Because he's been getting roughed up pretty good here lately.
I don't know. That's the thing.
A couple weeks ago.
That's another thing, too. Pastor, you bring up a very good point. Brock has been getting roughed up lately.
Yeah.
And now maybe Brock isn't... Because also, I want to take into consideration, can the Beast remain the Beast forever? Because... When Brock was in the WWE the first time, he was a beast, but he wasn't always a beast. He had his weak moments when he was a face, and then Eddie Guerrero defeated him.
Yeah, he had his weak moments, but then he went and dominated another genre.
Another sport.
Vince cashed in on it. Vince is riding that UFC...
Yeah.
Monster train.
But my point is
he's a victim of his own creation.
He put Brock with Vince for a while on his own. You know he did it.
But how long?
And that pretty much single-handedly forced CM Punk out of the picture because Punk saw the writing on the wall and was like, nah, this guy's going to get carte blanche when I want to do stuff like that and I wasn't able to.
Yeah.
He did the same thing. He pretty much got that extension, and they started feeding Punk, which is the one thing I agree with Punk about.
Punk jobbed to Taker.
I did it willingly, by the way. He did it willingly.
Yeah, willingly.
Once Vince signed you to one of those big contracts like that, is when if you notice that's when you started getting buried. Punk was losing to everybody that was coming in and leaving out, and I give him that one.
He still took the ball and went home. So we ain't talking about him tonight. We talking about the fact that SummerSlam, you got Taker, Brock, two or whatever. It's more than two times,
well,
by the way. It's,
you know what, though? Wait
Taker,
a minute.
Brock,
we don't
about
know yet.
Eight or nine.
We don't know yet. This
is a one-off?
Well, wait a minute. I'm not saying that this is a one-off. We don't know what's going to happen. The match ended in a no contest. And we know... Heyman is Brock's advocate, and he's going to talk Brock into another championship match.
Yep.
That'll probably be it. What's after SummerSlam? Not a champion,
but that doesn't
probably get a rematch then.
No,
come on, Double A. You know WWE logic now.
I know WWE logic, but I'm trying to justify this in a way that if Undertaker attacked Brock. Because look,
some things
here's
you can't
the thing.
Justify.
Okay,
yet.
let's ask
these writers. They're
okay.
writing crap.
Okay, let's ask
this
question.
That's the justification
Tony,
is crap.
All right, Tony. So, let's ask this question, Tony, then, okay? The last two events, which was Elimination Chamber and Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins wrestled Dean Ambrose. Let's say here at Battleground it was Ambrose one more time because Ambrose wasn't on this pay-per-view.
Nope.
So let's say it was Ambrose. And instead of it being Brock at Battleground, it was Brock and Rollins at SummerSlam, and this happened. Same result?
Would make no sense.
Still would make no
sense.
My issue, Double A, with the whole thing is no matter what Taker does to Brock, the streak is still gone.
It's not like he cost Taker a title or something. It doesn't matter. I'm not concerned with the streak. The thing is,
That's the reason for this match. He took the streak from him, so now he's.
But no matter what, you don't get it back.
2013.
Yeah.
I don't know. You get where I'm coming from.
Skip on the Owens Cena match.
What I want though is that I want at SummerSlam. I want a rematch between Rollins and Lesnar. And if you want to continue this, the only thing I can think, and I'm thinking on WWE's, I'm thinking with a WWE hat now, is that you wouldn't have Brock and Undertaker wrestle at SummerSlam. You'd want to stretch that out as far as you can go. You know, maybe
the Rumble.
Rumble or...
But even when it happens, that match makes no logical sense.
Hell in a Cell in October. It doesn't...
You guys going to be around that long to stretch it out to the Rumble.
Tony, the match doesn't matter. It's not going to make any sense even if it happens tomorrow night. It's not going to make any
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. Each other's wheelhouse.
I'm trying to justify, though, the build on the storyline. Because, look...
Understand that, but okay. Whoever's writing it need to get slapped in the goddamn head.
Well, I don't know.
Somebody approved it. The title.
Tony C, somebody approved it.
That's what I'm saying. Whoever approved, I told Phil, somebody's asleep at the wheel.
There are three people that green light. There are three people that green light things in the WWE: Stephanie, Triple H, and Vince. I could bet good money that Triple H would not have green lighted it because he doesn't think that way. Stephanie, I don't know. Stephanie's kind of...
She's doing the divas now, so she's busy.
No, but Stephanie... Come on, Surfer. Stephanie's very wishy-washy. And Vince, we know Vince has been senile for years. So,
and this proves it tonight.
Process of elimination. And look, when is SummerSlam? August 23rd? I want to look up something real quick here. I want to... Bear with me for one second.
While you're looking that up, I can see Vince... Last night, we're gonna have Taker come out and cost in a match.
You want to hear? Okay, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something right now, Tony. Not that this has anything to do with anything. August 23rd, 2015, was a very important day for wrestling. Not only is it Mega Slam, but it's SummerSlam, and a lot of things. Now, if Brock faces the Undertaker, well, what do you want? Nothing can be done, but. This could end up being one of WWE's biggest shows and could also be one of the final things that we could have greenlit by Vince, because I'm going to tell you why. Because the very next day, I'm going to tell you, Vince is going to end that night on the 23rd of August with a smile on his face, regardless of what the outcome of the event is. He'll be like, I did a good job. Because you know what's going to happen at midnight on that night? Vince turned 70 years old. And I'm telling you, Vince's days are numbered. And he's probably getting in whatever garbage he can get in now. Because if you think Vince is going to be around forever, ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
This is senile booking.
This is going to be right Vince's.
Pretty much running the show, so he might as well give it to Hunter.
Vince is probably. You know, he probably has thought... Vince has already outlived his dad. I have to think, at this point, Vince realizes this is it. I'm going to have my swan song here soon enough. And he's trying to figure out a way to have an epic exit. Because he's not going to have an on-screen exit.
So he's laying eggs.
Hey, he's testing. That's me trying to justify this in some manner.
Cause good Googler, Moogler, come on, man! And then Taker comes out tomorrow and cuts a promo about how Brock ended the streak. Okay, so you're gonna beat him up, and you in the match, you still lost. That's why it all comes back to they never should have ended the streak. Though. Like you guys.
No, the streak should have never happened.
Right.
The ending of the streak should have never happened, and Undertaker should have gone out on top.
The Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Right. That's how it. You know what? He could have still continued on wrestling, but the streak should have never ended.
Exactly.
Should have just never ended. I think. WWE made some poor mistakes when it came with The Undertaker. This is one of them. But it would have been better.
The streak was the biggest one.
The streak was the biggest one. But if they were going to bring The Undertaker back, he should have never wrestled Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania.
And then Double A said.
It's not that the match was bad. It's just, I think, for the context of what we're talking about, Brock. beating the hell out of the under, or Undertaker beating the hell out of the Brock out of Brock tonight would have had a lot more meaning, and meaning, if Undertaker just stayed home last April.
So Double A, if this Brock Taker thing happens at SummerSlam, Rollins takes on.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Tomorrow night on Raw, I'm assuming a U.S. Challenge Open is going to happen.
Oh, come on. No. 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 No.
No. No. Listen to what
I will boycott SummerSlam for real then. Because we all know how that movie ends.
Well, what do you want me to tell you, Tony?
No.
Well, they may have a no more contender match tomorrow for
Surfer, who's the contenders that he hasn't already beaten? Who else can they throw at him?
Oh, Rand, bro.
That he could beat.
Though they're thinking of, I mean, at this point, might as well just bring in a former U.S. champion.
Maybe.
I'm talking about for Seth Rollins, man.
No, I mean, but listen, that's the thing. Kevin Owens is not going to face Seth Rollins. It's too early in the game. And if Cena loses the title to Owens or somebody, it frees him up. He'll face Rollins for the world title.
God, no.
That's the only thing I can tell you, man. That's the only thing. There is nobody else right now.
I would rather see him fight Sting. Okay, I'm going to tell somebody else. Please don't fight. No. Well, he has never beaten John Cena. Man, scratch that. I think he beat him one time.
Listen, I don't work for the WWE. I don't collect a paycheck from them. But hey. What do you want?
I'm selling some stock tomorrow. I'll tell you that damn much.
Somebody new will get a title shot. Somebody who had never got one before. It's been known to happen every blue moon.
At the biggest pay per view of the year, so really?
Yeah,
the
second biggest anyway. Yeah,
not second biggest.
They're asking me in the chat if Vince retires, what does he do?
Jay Security, you know, they got to win. Maybe they can ask for a title shot.
Vince just goes home.
The only person hot enough is Owens, but they're not going to do this.
Nope.
No. It's too soon.
They paint themselves in the corner.
Is there anybody?
I told Phil this.
They could bring up?
No.
I told Phil this.
No Sloppy Joe?
I'm putting it out in the air right now. Don't be surprised if it's Brock Taker, they do a Shield triple threat.
I'm going to tell you, well, the Shield, you know, the Shield is being rumored to reunite.
Well, probably after this triple threat, that's probably finna happen. But then, I told Phil, how are you going to put Roman Reigns in the title match? He just lost to Bray Wyatt.
All right. Yeah, again, there's no credibility.
How would it make y'all happy if they had a number one contender? Like, you know, Battle Royale or whatever, and personnel came out on top of Cesaro.
They're going to have to bring somebody back.
Yeah, because it's different.
They might have to.
Would you be happy?
Cesaro just lost to the U.S. champion three times.
Yeah, build Cesaro. Listen, you want to throw a guy like Cesaro in there, I have no issue with that. But tell me a story, man. Write it in. Right.
He's driving out to the U.S. champion. Now you're the number one contender.
Yeah, man. Back in the day when they gave you a spot back in the day, and you guys know this, they gave you a bit of a run. You were beating top guys. You were doing run-ins. You were cutting promos. You weren't jobbing and then getting title matches the week after.
Money in the bank. That's what messed it up. Money in the bank.
And then you
got 8 matches in a row and then cash in.
You still got Orton and Sheamus floating around in universe. What do they got for them now?
In the day, if you were special, you got an action figure. Now everybody's got an action figure. You see my point? There's nothing special about it no more.
Michael Cole has an action figure.
Action figures are easy to make these days, so
come on, Surfer.
No, seriously.
You're talking about the principle of the fact, man.
It ain't like it was before, Surfer, when, you know, Surfer, not many people
logic, make action figures. Surfer, logic. Please. Put it on the shelf.
Surfer, you sure you're not a WWE writer? Because it seems like you're the probably book taker to come out this night.
Pastor Sidell said it great. Michael Cole has an action figure. And look, I get it, Michael Cole. Mainstay in WWE, wrestled a couple of matches. He deserves an action figure. But you can go to Toys R Us, and I guarantee you, somewhere deep in the bowels of Toys R Us, there's a Mike Chioda action figure. You know, you can get a Howard Finkel action figure or something.
We have Howard Finkel, by the way.
Okay, you shouldn't be able to get a Howard Finkel action figure.
Yeah, well, Uncle Tank gave that to Mikey, but either way... You see my point? There's nothing special anymore. I want a story, man. Tell me. Like, back in the day when my mother would cackle with her friends on the phone about all my children and one life to live, there was stories back then. People were sleeping around. People were cutting each other in the street. People were running people over with cars. But there was always something going on. Now, it's, you know... It's
Undertaker
just,
pops up at Battleground that, to avenge a loss.
Or it's 3 hours of a flagship show with... You have a I was telling Double A this before you called in. Mm-hmm. 3 hour show and you have under 10 segments? Why? You spend 20 minutes explaining yourself about something that's going to suck anyway.
Right. And you know, I also read another story. Has no relevance to what we're talking about right now. But I read a story over the weekend that it mainly pertains to SmackDown, but I guess you could say that this also pertains to Raw, that they kind of said, you know what, we're just going to let SmackDown be whatever for now, and we're not going to really focus in on SmackDown until January when it moves to the USA Network.
But Double A, isn't Brock supposed to be on SmackDown next month?
Brock is supposed to make a SmackDown appearance in August.
By the time they get to him, it won't even matter. Wouldn't even care. It's like he's gonna lose anyway. Don't worry about it.
You know, all you fellas are upset. Y'all have not talked about the most important thing tonight.
What and that is, it wasn't the PT. Don't nobody care about the primetime players keeping the belts. We knew that.
Being rude. Let me say what I gotta say first. Then you can criticize me, okay? All right, because the most important thing is that Stephanie McMahon tied with JoJo, made her look so
what the
smart.
Hell is Stephanie standing on?
Yeah. And Tamina, when Tamina looks at JoJo, that China lesbian look.
I
said in the chat room, Tamina looked lost.
Yeah, she did, but she had that, like, I can eat you.
She's a Samoan China.
And then JoJo just looked at her like, don't look at me like that.
That's an oxymoron.
Samoan China.
China.
You know what? And it's sad that I keep looking for an Adam's apple.
Don't talk about my girl like that.
I do. She got that chin just like him.
I'm not saying she's like hideous or anything. I'm just saying she looks like a man, dude.
She's
looking like a man.
The problem is that she's built like a,
She's built like Tarzan.
She's built like, no, maybe not as Tarzan, but she's, you know, she's the size of a partition. And the problem is, you know, she's just like a damn wall.
She's not even the tallest person there, though.
No, she's not.
And she looks at JoJo like, I will eat you alive.
Exactly.
JoJo's also under 5 foot, man. She's barely...
That's true, too.
Yeah, but still, Stephanie Tower...
Cameras on.
Under 5 foot, that is just ridiculous, you know?
JoJo looks petrified when she looked violated when Tamina looked at her. Like,
she has that after-school special, don't touch me look.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
I'm telling Vince.
The same look that she gave Orton. You know, the same look she gave Orton before he touched her for the first time.
See? Yep. never have nice
after. And we know JoJo's so naive. I mean, when she first showed up, that boyfriend she had, man, woo.
Yeah.
Looked like a Saved by the Bell episode. Reject.
It was an episode of Saved by the Bell. God. Well, I you know what, folks?
Hey, JoJo survived the viper pit, so we got to give her a prop. She made it out somehow.
She came out on top.
She survived. She survived a snake bite.
Put the lotion in the hole. Put the lotion.
Yeah.
She put the lotion in the bucket.
I gotta tell you, that's just she. I mean,
otherwise, I was getting ready to give it a high rating until they pulled that. I'm like, okay.
I mean, she looks
some
like
of them had to,
Pastor, you didn't hear the pre-show, did you?
I heard some of it.
Okay, before
I
that's
in.
Why.
Yeah, we were having
we
some
gave
fun.
That ending away.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
WWE needs to go.
I knew he was gonna lose. I figured he'd lose by interference. I figured just a bong, and he because I've been hitting on it all week. I figured he would just bong and then stand up on stage or whatever. I didn't know he was going to get in the ring. Or he could have just stood there in the ring and not did anything. It went back, and then he could have been distracted and stuff, so he got him in. My problem was they didn't close the match. I'm like, why leave it open like that? That's crazy. He could have slithered in the ring like most heels do.
They had to get those commercials on, you know? They had a lot of commercials to show tonight.
They had to talk about Swerve coming on tomorrow night and shit.
How did King do?
About the W, about Dusty Rhodes.
The announcers were bad tonight. They were not good.
Really?
And JBL comparing.
It's not that they did anything. It's not
the WCW invasion.
Yeah, it's not that they did anything overly bad. It's just the announcers just were not good tonight. And
this is a result of them sliding in that extra show.
This is the result of them hiring freaking whomever to write this crap.
This is a result of them getting a random phone call from Undertaker going, yeah, guys, I'm ready to come back. And then the whole spot just panics and goes, oh my God, how are we going to interject?
We got to put him in with Brock.
You got a wife and kids.
I live in Returnville. That's the problem.
This is either that or they're still
paid regardless.
It's either that or they're still in shock that Dusty died. I don't know what the hell is going on, but something.
Who's booking this crap?
Or maybe they're going through the last pages in Dusty's book. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know, folks. I don't have an answer for you.
They had a ninja come out during freaking Bray Wyatt's match. Yeah. I mean, I thought I was watching Halloween Havoc all over again.
They were chanting, let's go stand out.
I actually thought that was Dean Ambrose.
Really? I thought a bird.
I thought it was Luke Harper, but I wasn't sure.
I'm not surprised.
Every time I see a black ninja, I think it's Paul Heyman.
Because I've been expecting them to put the family back together.
Well, they are, but now that Eric Rowan is hurt.
Rowan got hurt.
And he's gonna be out for like 6 months, so I don't know.
Yeah, so
unless they're gonna tag team, I guess.
But anyways, we'll have to see what happens. Well, I folks, tomorrow night,
anytime that black ninja comp shows up, you gotta think Heyman, okay?
Yeah. Tomorrow night it's gonna be interesting. Raw is in Kansas City, I believe. And
God.
Oh Lord.
So
that's backwards. They're all over the place.
Let me see. Let me make sure if it's in Kansas City. Yeah, Kansas City, Missouri.
I believe you're right.
They went Chicago, and they went deep down south to Atlanta, somewhere in Alabama next, and back up to St. Louis. Now we're going to Kansas City.
They're gonna go to Kansas City. They're gonna get some advice from Harley Race, and and then hopefully he'll straighten things out.
How to book this crap?
How to book? Because that's one thing.
We'll be on tribute tomorrow.
That's one thing. I've never ever heard of Harley booking. Did Harley ever book anywhere?
Maybe
backstage tonight. They say
I don't know because that would have been interesting if Harley booked anywhere. And what did he book? Because I can't imagine anybody trusting Harley. You know, because he'd be like, just
same
get out
persuasion
there.
Going over all night long.
Yeah, just get out there and you know, who cares if there's some racist comments in that promo. Anyway,
Hogan said a few back in the day.
Who?
Hogan.
Oh, well, Hogan. I know Hogan said some. But that's the thing. Hogan
did you guys hear the pop for Wrestling at the Chase?
Yeah, I heard that.
Good. Now, that's the same section that was booing
Hold
Undertaker.
On one second.
Really?
They weren't wrong.
No. I told you, they got me for about, they got me good for about 10 seconds. And after I heard the bomb and the lights back on, I'm like, okay, this is not going to go well. It's not right.
Right, because you live in the show me state, man. Show me a good time.
Yeah, you know, we started this mess.
Yeah, you guys are smart wrestling fans.
Yeah, they well, the rumor came out, I think last week it started that he was back in the ring or whatever. Rage posting pictures. Then when I read on Monday, I said, oh, damn. And then that F5 hit, and it was 10:42.
10:42, and you got my text message at 10:43 and a half.
Yep. Oh damn, they just, did it.
Yeah, I'm done.
Florida Evans.
Ain't nobody
dropped the glass.
Yeah, you.
She nobody, finally broke down.
I'm sorry, man. Ain't nobody could justify this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
all right, guys.
This is the wrong area to pull that in. I'm going, why? You're going to get them booed off screen? And luckily for them, the crowd down towards the ring was more hype. But had they panned up, nobody was standing up. We all look mad.
I've noticed
like
that.
Like little kids.
You know what? I've noticed that in a lot of WWE shows. It's usually the marks that buy the front row tickets.
It
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the sign guy. The sign guy.
No, but
when Seth got tossed over the over the railing back in.
Yeah.
That dude had a look of fear on his face. Like
I think he's got like lifetime WWE tickets or something.
And by the way, did y'all see my boy Brock Lesnar clear that dog on the guardrail?
Yeah,
he's an animal.
Oh, he
done that before. That's
he's
like running from the cops.
There's a guy. But the sign guy, of course, you know him. But there's, if you ever pay attention to St. Louis matches, of course I would. But there's always a trio that's dressed like Undertaker, Vader, and Mankind. Undertaker, I was talking about y'all when I saw the Undertaker guy was pouting big time. I couldn't get to my phone and I didn't have a signal, so I had it in my pocket too deep. Oh, he had the longest face. He didn't have his costume on anymore. His wig was off. I want to give him a hug.
I gotta tell you,
he was mad because Taker showed up.
That's one thing about going to the events that I hate. I absolutely hate it because you go, you're waiting there in line, and then there's all these goofs that are out in the parking lot or out outside, you know, mimicking, you know, such and such person. We used to have names for everybody, and then. You know, I've had the unfortunate luck a couple of times of having to sit near them. They're like a disease.
Yeah.
And you sit next to them, and I remember it was January 1st, 2007, Monday Night Raw here in Miami, the infamous John Cena-Kevin Federline match. Anyways, I believe it was 2006 or 2007. Anyways. I had to sit next to a guy who, you know, was quote unquote in the business. So anytime that there was a commercial break, and he would, you know, I was in the third row behind the announcers, and he would be yelling at, you know, Mike Chioda or Charles Robinson, who was in the ring. Hey, Charles. Next time you come to one of our shows, we want to do like a photo set or something, you know, like having a personal conversation with him, but yelling. Like, really? Are you trying to show everybody here in these three rows, you know, that you might know Charles Robinson or something?
Nah, you know what chaps
I got a question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Tony.
I got a question for Pastor. How did Taker get out there so damn fast?
That's what
was he up in the ring?
And where the hell is Seth?
Because he old now.
Where the hell is Seth and
I'm not even worried. I'm trying to figure out how the slow, decrepit Undertaker get out there. Those lights went out and it came back on pretty quick.
He's been under the ring all night.
You know who bothers me at these shows? No joke. The championship belt guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the dude, the 15-year-old kid
who takes the one
I'm
belt.
I'm talking about the middle-aged guy
who takes all the belts,
or the 30-something guy that buys these $400 replica belts and parades around the arena rotunda drinking beers, screaming like, "You can't see me! You can't see me!"
Exactly, and they act like they're
And you tell them, and I told one guy, I'm like, "Dude, just kill yourself."
They act like they're the shit because they're walking around with 3 and 4 championships. Like, if any one wrestler is going to walk around like that. Like
Randy Orton would, we know that.
See, I'm a belt mark, man. If I had that kind of dough, I would just send Dave Milligan a check for $1,500 and say, "Mail me one of your television titles from the NWA." I wouldn't buy a $400 spinning U.S. title.
No.
From the shop.
I hope they get robbed. Like they go turn it away for a second. Somebody.
Well, they would get robbed in your neighborhood. They don't play that stuff over there.
You know, and they their attention drop for just a second. Somebody picks them, and then they're the rest of the night. They can't find their belt.
You got to wonder sometimes where do people wrestling fans for the most part. Are losers, and you got to wonder where the hell are people getting the money to. Like, if you go on YouTube, okay, and you put up wrestling belt collection, you go look at the videos of some of these fans that have every single belt that has ever been sold through WWE Shop or through Toy Figures or whatever.
You know, when you live in the basement, you don't have to pay rent.
Yeah, but you know what? These belts are not cheap. I have one belt. I have the U.S. title belt from WCW.
When did you buy it?
I bought it when the belts first came out, and they were $150.
Okay, when was that, though?
That was 2003.
That was also a WCW decade ago, right?
I was one of the first ones to buy a championship belt. This is when they...
You were under 30 years old, you still lived at home, and you...
It doesn't matter. The prices went... They skyrocketed from one day to the next.
Yeah, they have skyrocketed.
There's more detail to it.
No, this belt is pretty good, but that's besides the point, Phil. My point is,
you get a belt made cheaper if you go to the right place.
No, you can't.
Double A, you know the belt I would. Double A, you know the belt I would buy is the WCW title, of course.
Yeah,
I would. You know, I would spray paint it with red NWO letters.
Here's the thing. If I had...
Then I'd go get a hoodie.
If I had money to burn, if I had won the lotto, my dream would be to convert a spare bedroom or whatever into a full-blown studio for the rant, get some good equipment, and I would just drape the walls with championship belts, and that's it. That's all I would... That's what I would do. If I had money
to burn. I'm halfway there. I just need the money for the belts.
Yeah. You know, I want to. I would drape the walls.
Maybe they'll find me.
But that's the thing. I would do what, like I said, I would do what Phil suggested. I'd go straight to the source, and I wouldn't buy them through WWE because WWE, they're just replicas.
Right. I just send Dave Milligan, take all my money. Here, Reggie Park, take all my money.
Exactly.
That's all.
Or Jay. You know, the other one is Jamar. He's the one that does the current championship belts, and. And, you know...
We need a WCW title.
Right. I want the winning eagle.
Yeah. And then there's another one. I don't know his name. But he's got a website. And, yes, we're talking about championship belts now. And I got stuck on that... I got stuck on that website for 2 hours the other day looking because he had acquired... And, Tony C., you'll like this. He had acquired a lot of... ring used championship belts. Like, I always thought that the promotion either kept the belt or the wrestlers kept the belts. And a lot of times, yes, the wrestlers keep the belts, but I'm finding out also that a lot of times these belts end up in the hands of people that you're like, how do they end up with this? And then buy and sell and trade and auctioning and all that stuff. He acquired the belts. One of the belts he had, and it, you know, he had a whole bunch of belts that were used in the ring, but the one belt in particular, Tony C., that you would have enjoyed, the WCW tag team title belts, the one with the broken plate.
Oh man,
he had that.
The one that Scott Steiner,
the one that Scott Steiner broke. Exactly, he had that in his collection.
I like the old the NWA tag team title with the blue behind them, the blue trim.
Yeah, I don't know who has that, but I'm sure somebody's in possession of it.
Yeah, it was a fresh
dog face. Nobody, I want you. I want dog faces.
Yeah. There's I gotta look for the article, but there is an article behind it too about why the belt is broken to begin with.
Because Scott Steiner broke? No, Rick broke it.
Apparently it was broken before that, but anyways.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
He wasn't missing until Rick threw it down.
I guess. And then the same guy, he's in possession of the WCW world title. The one that Vader had.
Oh,
he's
the Ron Simmons one.
The Ron Simmons version. The actual belt, the one that they used on television. Who has
the Hollywood Hogan Wolfpack belt?
The belts that this guy has is astounding. You know what else? What other belt he has? He has the belt that Mr. Perfect broke.
Demolished. I almost cried when I was freaking the little kid.
He has the belt and all the missing pieces. Well, not all the pieces. Perfect.
Do something like that.
And he put to bed the story that people think that it's the hardcore title, and it's not. The hardcore title was a belt that was designed specifically for the WWE.
Although it looks exactly like that tore up belt,
but it's not. It's not. He has the belt and the pieces that were broken. But anyways,
Lex Luger. Who has the Lex Luger belt?
What Lex Luger belt?
He won at Great American Bash 91.
I think that belt.
The Florida belt.
They probably throw that in the garbage when they were done with it.
Barry Windham jumped him in the parking lot and took it back.
Oh my God! You know, and then there's a belt that Hogan apparently had that we don't know. We can't identify what it is. And anyways, yes, the one that Harlem Heat had, the tag team titles that Harlem Heat had all those many times.
Yeah, Steiner broke the plate. Oh, what about the NWO manufactured tag team titles? Do they have those?
Somebody has those too. I believe the same guy does. Let me see here. Hold on.
Oh man! So that he got that Wolfpack belt probably.
Oh look here's
the one I want.
Here we go. It's actually on the video. The video explanation is on YouTube. Here it is, Tony. Listen up.
To ever made, ever ring used, Reggie Parks made WCW Tag Team Championship belts.
The volume is so low.
Belts were used from the early 90s to around 96. You can see the Reggie Clark stamp, tarnish on the snaps, and then the damage to the plates. This belt was the belt Mick Foley Cactus Jack took with him to ECW in the 90s. Did a promo, spit on it, threw it on the ground, broke
it. I was there.
The logo plate. WCW received the belt back, continued to use it, and for you big NWO fans, you'll remember that when the Outsiders were tag team champions, it seemed Scott Hall always ended up being stuck wearing this specific belt, as proven by the side plate always missing.
Well, there you go. So it was Mick Foley that actually broke the belt, Tony.
Damn, that plate was on that belt, though.
You know what?
Leading up until the Steiners turned it up.
Here's the thing.
Gave it back.
I'm going to tell you this from my own personal experience of having a championship belt. I bought the belt, and you know, the leather is tight. You know, when you get it, the leather's super tight, and you got to break the leather in. And I did all sorts of things to try to loosen this leather up so that it was a little bit more flexible and that I was able to, you know, actually wear it over my shoulder and this.
You wore it in the shower then, you're saying?
No. So what happened, so what I did was I really manhandled the title belt a little bit. I had to throw it around a little bit to really break it in a little bit. And in the process of doing it, one of the screws to the plates came loose and actually broke. So what I think happened is that if Mick Foley really did drop the title or what he did. He dropped the title, and if he broke the plate, it's possible what he did was he broke the screws that hold the plate in place, and that belt was probably in shambles by the time it made it to the Steiners. The belt was probably on its last legs anyway.
Yeah, and it came off
and
that
it,
night.
And it came off completely that night.
Came off, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, so with that, I think we're going to wrap it up. So
yeah.
let's face it, folks. Tomorrow
so
night.
So are you cleansed?
No.
Come on. Well, I'm sorry. I'm waking up, my son. We still sitting in the
car. Oh, tomorrow night will be interesting.
Hell no, we ain't cleansed.
Tomorrow night is interesting. We'll see what happens. And then, of course, we'll talk about the fallout Tuesday night on the rant. So let's run down the schedule. Big week of programming this week. This coming Tuesday, the rant. It's our 8th anniversary celebration. 8 years of the rant, but it's going to be a normal show. We're going to talk about the fallout from Money in the Bank. And then, what, of course, everything else that happened on Monday Night Raw. Following that, brand new episode of Freaks, Stuff, and Geeks with Lee and Rage. Then on Thursday, Rant and Wrestling at 9 o'clock. Friday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks Live with the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, and an open mic.
Yeah, no Mega Powers this week.
Yeah, no Mega Powers this
week.
Uh-oh,
I'm riding shotgun. Let's book it.
And how come you always get to ride shotgun?
Because I'm me.
He's Tony C.
Yeah, I haven't figured out anything yet. I'll probably open them. I'll open the phone up again. I just Mega Powers had an engagement he totally forgot about. So
he's engaged.
He's on a promo tour. He's on a promo tour for Mega Slam. He's shooting some
congratulations
some ads.
Anyways, wrestling college
show. Shooting three ninjas go to Mega Slam.
Maybe. Wrestling college show live next Saturday at 11 p.m. Then the What Are You Reading comic book show that Sunday at 5 p.m. with Jordan Cobb and Surfer. The next time we'll be bringing you pay-per-view coverage and event coverage. I want you to listen to very, very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Will be the next time will be Saturday evening, August 22nd. For NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. We will have a live pre-show at 7 p.m. I know that Rage is going, Mega Powers is going, Phil, you're going, right?
Yeah, it's
going to be a
kid. Yeah, I'll be in Brooklyn that night. I don't know if I'll be at NXT or I'll be at Ring
You'll
of
be
Honor.
Somewhere.
We're still leaving it up to Junior, so.
Well, either way, we're having a pre-show that night for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. The post-show will, in fact, be the wrestling call-in show. That'll be live at 11 p.m. on that night. Then you come back to us on Sunday. There will be no comic book show that Sunday. We're going to figure something out for Surfer that week. But we're going to have, at 6 p.m., we're going to have Mega Slam, where Rage takes on Mega Powers. We're going to see who's going to come out on top.
So I'm not doing a fun show that Friday.
No, Surfer, you know what, Surfer? I think we're gonna do. We should just open up Turnbuckle Throwbacks for your fun show.
We'll see. We're gonna work all the technical aspects and all the all that stuff is gonna be handled off air, Surfer.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Anyways, then at 7 o'clock we'll have our pre-show for SummerSlam. This is all 5 weeks from tonight, August 23rd. We'll have our SummerSlam pre-show. We'll have live chat coverage and, of course, the post-show at 11 p.m. A lot of other events coming up here on the network. We've got coming up on the 28th of July will be our roundtable for the Great American Bash. We're coming up in the month of September. We've got the Spaceballs roundtable, which will be happening. We've got the Saturday morning cartoon special that's going to be happening. I believe we're in the process of working something special for the month of October. And, yeah.
Can we do the Rocky special in October?
Oh, that's right. We also got to do the Rocky roundtable. Yeah. Well, we're going to work on that. I'm going to start penciling in the fall schedule here since we're getting in the bottom half of the summer. And, yeah, can you believe that we're in the bottom half of 2015, folks?
It's almost time for the ranties again.
Almost time for the ranties again. Anyways.
and the host swap.
And the host swap. That's right. We're going to do the scramble again in December. And I think we're going to make it a little bit more interesting this year, especially now that we got.
Did you mention the Christmas special?
And we got the Christmas special. We got so much stuff on the books right now, and that you definitely want to keep it tuned to Rant AM Radio, and don't miss out on anything.
This is picking up.
Business is picking up. It's always picking up around here. But now we've got some hot times right now on the network, you know, especially, you know, the schedule being shuffled around a little bit, you know, Freaks and Effing Geeks moving to Tuesday, Throwbacks moving to Friday, things are certainly picking up now. Things are getting very interesting around here. So I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I want to thank everybody listening live. I want to thank my wonderful panel of expert analysis. You know, that they tried to understand what happened tonight. They did their best. They did their best, okay?
Shenanigans.
So don't get upset if you were not satisfied with their answer. They did their best. So for Phil, for Tony C.
Sorry. You know
power
what?
Power of positivity, AA, really?
Yes.
You know what they say on the Life of Brian, right?
What do they say?
Always look on the bright side of life.
See, but at least Monty Python tells a good story, not like tonight.
Exactly.
I think I'm going to go watch a 1970 British comedy sitcom. Anyways, to try to, you know, make up.
Wash the stench off of this one.
Yeah.
Go take a hot shower.
Yeah, I gotta do that. I gotta wash. I gotta wash the undercarriage anyway. Anyways, so for that.
Oh God!
With that, I gotta say thank you to Phil, for Tony C, Surfer, and of course Pastor Sadell. We'll see you Tuesday night for another episode of The Rant. Of course, another doubleheader with Freak Stuff and Geeks at 11 p.m. Don't worry, folks. Things could be worse, I guess, right?
It could be TNA.
It could be TNA. It could be TNA. You know, Hernandez came back, joins the Beatdown Clan, and is already gone from TNA. So, hey, what do you want? Huh? All right, everybody. Have a good night. We'll see you Tuesday night.
I won't put you down. I won't put you down.